Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Reed's Wrestling. I am your host, Alan Reed, and today I'll be reviewing the May 24th edition of Raw. And this Raw in general, the matches were pretty long for the majority of it, and to be honest, not a lot of stuff or a lot of rivalries, storylines were really pushed in a sense. But with that being said, I'm going to get straight into what happened throughout the whole show. So the night, it started off with MVP in the ring, and he introduces the almighty champion Bobby Lashley, and Bobby Lashley comes out with a few new girls, and it kind of seems like this is going to be a trend for Bobby Lashley now, to come out with a group of girls. He's, you know, it kind of seems like he's taking a page out of the Godfather, when the Godfather would come out with, you know, his quote-unquote hoes. So interesting to see how Lashley is, you know, this dominant champion. He's coming out with all these girls to apparently always celebrate, I guess, every week that he is still champion. And as the segment continued, you know, Bobby Lashley, he says that he doesn't want to see Drew McIntyre anymore, that he already beat him at WrestleMania and he beat him again at Backlash. So there's no point in Bobby Lashley facing Drew McIntyre anymore. But, of course, Drew McIntyre interrupts MVP again. And I said that with emphasis, because before MVP even said that Drew McIntyre always comes out, Drew McIntyre's music hit. And literally MVP says, Drew McIntyre always interrupts me again. It was kind of a funny thing. So then Drew, he obviously demands his rematch, and apparently he tells Bobby Lashley that maybe deep down inside he wants that match. But then Drew McIntyre says that, or maybe deep down inside, Bobby Lashley knows that he can't measure up to Drew McIntyre. So then we have Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. They come out and then they start babbling about, like, I'm champion, you're champion, this is how I'm champion. And they start babbling. And then Adam Pearce comes out and he breaks up the little debate that they were having, and he makes a match. So for tonight, we have Kofi Kingston versus Drew McIntyre, and the winner, they get to face Bobby Lashley at Hell in a Cell. So that leads into the first match of the night, which is Kofi Kingston versus Drew McIntyre. And as for the match, Drew McIntyre forces Kofi Kingston to the corner, and he kind of toys with Kofi Kingston in the start. He kind of didn't take him too serious. Kofi's all right. You know, obviously you see Kofi next to Drew, you would think that Drew were overpowering, but Kofi, he holds his own, you know. And then Drew McIntyre, he overpowers Kofi and slams him down. And during the beginning of the match, Drew McIntyre does, like I said, he has the offense. He does toy around with him a lot. But then Kofi Kingston, he does a slingshot off the rope onto Drew McIntyre. Then Drew McIntyre sets up Kofi for a powerbomb. Then Kofi reverses it and sends Drew out of the ring. Drew does a massive belly-to-belly suplex on Kofi. He almost turned Kofi inside out with that belly-to-belly. And then it's a random thought that I'm about to say, but it's kind of random. Like, I just noticed that Kofi has been wrestling with, like, Jordans for a few weeks now, and it's kind of random, to be honest. But hey, I mean, it's a style. It's a random thought. Then Kofi Kingston, he locks in a guillotine hold, and Drew McIntyre literally flips Kofi Kingston over to a suplex. I mean, Kofi couldn't really lock in that guillotine hold. And then every time that Kofi, he tries to do some high maneuver or something in that nature, Drew McIntyre just finds a way to just reverse it this whole match. And then Lashley, as Lashley and MVP were sitting at the entrance in his VIP lounge, and they were sitting on couches, he ends up getting up and he comes to ringside to check on the match. Then Kofi Kingston, he rolls Drew into the corner, and then Drew kicks out. Drew McIntyre then gives Kofi a spine buster. He goes for a pin, and then Kofi Kingston kicks out. And from this point on, it's been a pretty long match, to be honest. It's a very long opener. It was around maybe like a 20 minute match, around there, maybe 27 minute match. It was pretty damn long match. So then Kofi Kingston, he jumps from the top rope to Drew, and he wipes down Drew and Bobby Lashley. Kofi Kingston then does an SOS. He goes for a pin, and then Drew McIntyre kicks out. Lashley gets in, and he nails Kofi Kingston. And then Kofi Kingston nails Bobby with a Trouble in Paradise. Then Drew McIntyre gives Bobby Lashley a Claymore kick. So there is no official winner in this match. So Bobby Lashley's plan was like, hey, I'm going to interfere, take both men out, and there will be clearly no winner in this match, so then I don't have to face anyone at Hell in a Cell. Obviously, that's the most obvious plan you can make. But a little surprise was in store for Bobby Lashley later this night that I'm going to get into as I progress. So then the next match, we have Rhea Ripley versus Nikki Cross, a returning Nikki Cross that we haven't seen her since, what, January? Since the Raw after Royal Rumble. So it was refreshing to see Nikki Cross. And funny thing about Nikki Cross is that for the past few days, I've been watching Shimmer Wrestling, and I've been watching Nikki Cross wrestle at In Shimmer. And man, it's almost scary how her character from WWE is technically the same character she always did at Shimmer. You know, she was very loud mouth and crazy and energetic, and I just like Nikki Cross. But I mean, the real question is Nikki Cross Lily, which obviously we have yet to even get more of a clue as to who Lily is. And I still believe it's Nikki Cross. Sure, other people are still saying that it's Sasha Banks, that she's going to be Lily. But I mean, that'd be a pretty big change for Sasha Banks if she was to be Lily, because she's been the boss for most of her career, obviously in WWE, but she's been the boss for 6 years, 7 years. And I mean, of course, like any wrestler, they want to change the gimmick. They want to do something new, something fresh. And hey, maybe Sasha Banks becoming Lily could be that fresh start that she needs instead of always being the boss. Even though the boss thing is working for her, it'll be interesting to see if Lily is. But my bet is still that it's Nikki Cross that's Lily. As for this match, though, they were backstage, and then it was Charlie Flair and Rhea Ripley, and they were talking and stuff like that about tonight's match. But then Nikki comes in and challenges Charlotte Flair to a match. But then Charlotte Flair says that Nikki has like nothing to her. Like she doesn't even like acknowledge her. So then Nikki offers her the challenge to Rhea. But the thing is that Charlotte Flair says that she has to beat Nikki Cross in 2 minutes to win the match. So if Rhea Ripley doesn't beat Nikki Cross in 2 minutes, Nikki Cross wins the match. And as for the match, I mean, clearly Rhea Ripley didn't take Nikki Cross serious. She literally just like pushed her head and pushed her down. She didn't really take the match all that serious. You know, Rhea Ripley, she gives Nikki Cross a big drop kick. And then obviously Rhea Ripley doesn't even beat Nikki Cross in under 2 minutes. So Nikki Cross wins the match. And it was a pretty random match. I mean, I guess they kind of want to give Nikki Cross some sort of TV time. So this was the only way they really gave her TV time to get something out there. But yeah, there was nothing to it really. It was more of like a 2 minute show filler. But then after that match, we have Charlotte Flair versus Asuka again. And as the match with Rhea Ripley and Nikki Cross finishes, Charlotte Flair comes out and she starts mocking Rhea Ripley about not beating Nikki Cross. She's laughing and she's in a good mood. And Charlotte, you know, she's wearing her whole, you know, Cruella de Vil type attire, which I like. As for Flair versus Asuka, you know, in the beginning of the match, both women, they lock hands. Charlotte, she dodges one of Asuka's spin kicks. And from there on, I can tell that they just know each other very well, because they know every single thing is coming. When Asuka puts an opponent in the corner, we all know that she's going to spin kick the opponent. But then Charlotte Flair dodges it. Thank God. Then Charlotte, she uses her long legs to choke Asuka. And it's a smart move, because she uses her long legs for a maneuver like that. And then Asuka goes for a hip attack, but Charlotte Flair spears Asuka's left leg. And from there on, Charlotte starts to work on Asuka's left leg. Then Charlotte puts Asuka's knee first to the steel steps. Then Charlotte, she does a Boston Crab on Asuka. Asuka then applies an armbar on Charlotte, but Charlotte quickly gets out of the armbar. Then Asuka does a German suplex, which hurts her leg way more than the suplex hurt Charlotte. And Asuka's limping through the whole match. I mean, she's just going through pain. Like, her left leg is destroyed during this match. And then Charlotte, she slams Asuka's face to the announcer's table. And this match from this point, it's been pretty physical. It's also another very long one. It was another like 20, 30 minute match, which I don't know what's going on. But these matches so far have been very long. And as the physicality goes, Charlotte, she does her best to keep Asuka grounded. She doesn't want to get hit with a hip attack. She doesn't want to get hit with a spin kick. And at this point, Asuka cannot do a spin kick, at least on her left leg, because her left leg is completely annihilated. So then Charlotte, she does a moonsault from the top rope, but Asuka moves away and Charlotte lands on her feet. But then Charlotte does a regular moonsault, and then she lands onto Asuka. She goes for a pin. Asuka kicks out. Then out of nowhere, Charlotte Flair, she rolls over Asuka, and she gets the win. And to be honest, this was an actual very good match. It was a real good match. You know, both women put on a clinic, both women put basically everything on the line, because both of them need to prove to, I guess they have something to prove to Rhea Ripley, that they both of them can go against her still. And as for Charlotte winning, I mean, it's about time she gets over. You know, she's been on a bit of a losing streak since her return, and putting Charlotte Flair over in this match, you know, it gives us a little bit of faith that, hey, Charlotte, she can still win matches, she can still put on a hell of a show. And then we move on to Adam Pearce with MVP and Bobby Lashley in his office. And then Adam says that, okay, you guys interfered into the match, so there's no official opponent for Hell in a Cell. But Adam Pearce, he made the match, so next Monday it's going to be Drew McIntyre versus Kofi Kingston again, and for the number one contender. But this time, if Lashley or MVP come ringside or anywhere close to ringside or even try to interfere, Lashley is going to be suspended without pay. And oh lord, we can't have a suspended champion. So I like that little stipulation. But I mean, My bet is on this. It's going to be Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley at Hell in a Cell. Because, I mean, come on. We're going to have Bobby and Drew round, what, 3? So, why not? Then we have Shelton Benjamin versus Cedric Alexander. And this is another storyline that's it's growing on me. In the sense of like, okay, we have like the new generation versus the old generation, and they're really building upon that. You know, Cedric always has kept saying like, hey, like, I am in my prime, I'm still young, I'm hungry, I can still do all this stuff. And Shelton, hey, like, you're past your prime, you're old, you can't really do much anymore in the ring. So I love how they're doing that dynamic. And as the match starts, actually, Cedric Alexander, he starts to remind Shelton Benjamin how they were in the Hurt Business. They were tag team champions. They were on top of the world. They were everywhere. But then Cedric says that he was the one who made them tag team champions. It wasn't Shelton Benjamin. It was Cedric Alexander. And personally, for me, I don't know why, but every time Cedric Alexander talks, it just annoys me. I don't know why. I think it's just his cockiness and his attitude, which, to be fair, it's his job. He's being a heel, and he's literally doing good at his job, because he's making me not like him. He's making me be like, dude, this guy's so annoying, this guy's so irritating, I just don't like him, which he is doing a good job as a heel. But I'm just saying, for me, like, every time he talks, I'm just like, Jesus Christ, bro. And thankfully, during this match, though, he did not talk like last week, where every move he made, he kept talking and talking and talking and talking. And I was just like, Jesus Christ, bro. I mean, just wrestle and talk like twice, and that's it. As for the match, I mean, it was a very straightforward match. Not a lot happened. Shelton Benjamin, he threw Cedric Alexander to the barricade. Cedric Alexander then takes Shelton down with a hurricanrana from the top rope. Shelton Benjamin, he turned Cedric inside with a clothesline. He actually does a clothesline, and Cedric just flips over and turns inside out. It was actually a pretty good spot. Then Cedric actually does the neuralizer, and he gets the win. And like I said, This match, I mean, it builds up their feud, it builds up their rivalry, because now technically Shelton has one and Cedric Alexander has one win, so it's a tie. So it's interesting. Maybe they'll settle it at Hell in a Cell. I can actually see these two wrestlers having a 2 out of 3 fall match, just to kind of end it all. Like I would actually be super surprised if they say, hey, this is gonna be a Hell in a Cell match, because I would literally be like, come on, bro, Benjamin and Cedric in a Hell in a Cell match. I mean, come on, that's very bad booking. Just saying, but I can see them ending their storyline with a 2 out of 3 falls match to see who's the better wrestler. And as much as I would hate to say it, but I actually would like to see Cedric Alexander go over for this one, because it will kind of be kind of like a passing the torch to younger talent. Because Shelton has nothing to prove. That guy has had a hell of a WWE career. He's been tag team champion. He's been Intercontinental champion. He's been US champion. So he's done a lot. Even though he's never made it to the big leagues, he's done a lot for WWE. So this is kind of like basically what Randy Orton is doing with Riddle, Shelton is doing with Cedric. Shelton is, you know, basically building Cedric up to be a superstar. And I can see it happening, as long as, I mean, he's going to keep annoying me probably, Cedric. But hey, he's doing his thing as a heel. So then we have Riddle versus Xavier Woods. And this is another feud that's been going on for at least 3 weeks now, or a month now. And interesting to see how these two tag teams, you know, RK-Bro and The New Day, has been doing singles competition and like mixing it up with the singles competition. As for the match, both men actually, they do some very good mat wrestling. I actually was surprised. I never pictured Xavier Woods actually doing a little bit of mat wrestling. I mean, obviously Riddle, yes, because he has a, you know, he was a cage fighter, he was a UFC fighter, so he knows about mat wrestling. But Xavier Woods, I was actually surprised that he actually can mat wrestle. And then Riddle, he tries a triangle choke, but then Woods breaks it off. And then for most of the match though, both men, they literally like reverse every single submission they try to do, whether it be an armbar, one of them reversed it, or it be a leg lock, one of them reversed it. So it was an interesting dynamic when these two men apparently just know each other very well in the ring at this point. And I mean, hey, like I said, kudos to Xavier Woods. I mean, the guy, he wrestled in this match. He really did wrestle in this match, like wrestle, not like just throw around and fly around. No, he wrestled, like he mat wrestled. And then Xavier Woods, he slammed Riddle spine first to the apron, and then Xavier, he does a gut check on Riddle, but then out of nowhere, Riddle actually does an RKO on Woods, and Matt Riddle gets the win. And I mean, that RKO was so random. It came out of nowhere. And you can see a little smirk on Riddle's face when he did it. It was kind of like an homage to his tag team partner, Randy Orton, which Randy Orton wasn't here tonight, which was interesting that he wasn't here. Kind of like, you know, kind of left your tag team partner by yourself. Maybe you think he can handle himself. But it was interesting not seeing Randy Orton at all out of Raw, because I was so used to seeing him every week. But yeah, so as for the arcade, it was a little nod, a little homage to Randy Orton. And I liked that. I liked the little smirk that Riddle did. Then we have AJ Styles versus Jackson Ryker. And again, this is another tag team feud that apparently is going to keep going. And this match was so random. Like, the amount of like what happened at the end of the match was okay. So then as for the match, I mean, AJ Styles, he starts with a dropkick. Jackson Ryker, he does a bear hug on AJ. He keeps it locked for a few minutes. Then Elias comes out of nowhere and he knees AJ outside of the ring. And then Ryker gives AJ a big boot. And then Jackson Ryker actually gets the win over AJ. This was the fastest match of the night. I mean, I'm telling you, this was literally like 4 minutes. And it just went by so fast. Like, I literally blinked and I just see Elias comes out of nowhere. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this was so random. So then, of course, we have Omos. He grabs Elias from behind the barricade as Elias was hiding behind the barricade next to the timekeeper area. He grabs him. But then Omos, he tackles Elias down, right? But then Elias and Jackson Ryker just haul ass to the entrance. and you see it almost actually running. Hey, for, I mean, for a big guy, he runs pretty fast. Like, damn, he has agility. So then Omos ends up tackling Elias to the entrance, and then one of the LED screens just break, and or like if friction happens, and then just goes off. So it was cool. I like seeing those, like when the entrances break or like the screens go black or whatever. I like seeing that. It adds a little oomph to it, you know. Then we have for the goddamn seventh time or eighth time or hundredth time, it feels like, we have Sheamus versus Humberto Carrillo. I mean, Jesus Christ, bro. And mind you, this is not even for the US belt. This is just a random regular match. And to be honest, instead of Sheamus versus Humberto Carrillo, I mean, they could have easily taken like this opportunity. It would have been a perfect opportunity to have Sheamus versus Ricochet for the US belt. Are they saving it for Hell in a Cell? Maybe. But this is kind of like Damian Priest versus Miz or Morrison. It's just happening every week, and it's just the same thing every week with Sheamus and Humberto Carrillo. And I mean, I don't know what more they can do. I mean, I guess, and Sheamus's part, I mean, he's champion, so I mean, technically he has to appear. But in Humberto Carrillo's part, I feel like this is the only way they're gonna give him some sort of TV time or some sort of storyline. But I mean, it's not working. It shouldn't even have been a storyline. It should have been he answers the open challenge, he loses. Okay, Humberto moves on to something else. But they're really milking this one. And I mean, as for the match, I mean, Sheamus, he power slams Carrillo. And I mean, at this point, it kind of seemed like Sheamus wasn't even taking Humberto serious anymore. He was just like toying with him. And I don't blame him, because I'd be like, dude, I'm facing you again for like the hundredth time. Okay, whatever. I'm just going to like power bomb you, slam you, bro kick you, and that's it. And as the match continued, Humberto, he flies through the ropes onto Sheamus, and then Sheamus, he pulls on Humberto's tights with a rollover, and Sheamus gets the win. And like I said, pointless match. I mean, nothing to it. And then Sheamus, he ambushes Carrillo after the match, but then Ricochet comes out of nowhere and drop kicks Sheamus off the top rope, and then Humberto does a moonsault, and Ricochet does his 450 on Sheamus. So my guess was like, okay, I think we're looking at a triple threat match for the US title. Will it happen? 70% chance of happening, but I would strongly prefer Sheamus versus Ricochet for the US title. Maybe have Humberto, you know, kind of interfere and cause Sheamus the match, but that's just a random thought. But no, I would say do not do that, because then that means Humberto and Sheamus are gonna keep going. They're gonna keep going at it, which I don't even know what more they can do at this point. And as for the main event of Raw, which I don't know why I found this so shocking, but then again, there was nothing really more to it. It's Natalya and Tamina versus Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax for the women's tag team belt, and it's a rematch from last week. I found it to be random as a main event, because I don't know, I was kind of hoping it'll be more of Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre face to face, or even, you know, Braun Strowman, he comes out and you know he pleads his case with like why he still should be in the championship run. But yeah, as for the tag team match, It was interesting, actually. I'm not going to lie. It wasn't the best tag team match, but it was interesting in the sense of the storylines. For like this tag team match has like two storylines in one, which is kind of interesting. So then Nia and Tamina, they start off the match, but then Nia quickly tags in Shayna Baszler. Then Shayna Baszler tries to work on Natalya's arm before Natalya reverses it, and Nia then does a leg drop on Nia's arm, which, ow, just saying. And then Reginald comes out, even though before the match even started, Shayna Baszler told Reginald, like, don't come out, because if you come out, I'm going to kick your ass. And apparently Reginald is blind because he's wearing sunglasses because of last week's, like, little pyro incident that happened when he was climbing up the ring post. So apparently he's blind. But either way, Reginald ends up coming out. And okay, this is, might be a little what I'm about to say, but I need to kind of get it off my chest because, hey, we all have opinions, and opinions is the foundation of conversations. I find it so weird and stupid how out of all the WWE superstars that got released, from the Iconics, Samoa Joe, Chelsea Green, all these other people, how is it that they kept Reginald? I mean, the guy does nothing but stand around and look pretty and just annoy, like Shayna Baszler. I mean, how could you get rid of the Iconics and Samoa Joe and Chelsea Green and all these other talent when they actually were doing something? I mean, Samoa Joe was doing great on commentary. Hell, he was probably almost ready to go back into the ring. And the Iconics, come on. I mean, they were great. I mean, Billie Kay, I loved her little comedic thing that she was always doing with her resume and trying to manage someone. Come on, I mean, Peyton Royce, I mean, bless her heart. I mean, Vince, you know, promises her that she's going to be the next Paige or like whatever, the next big women's champion. And that easily died because she got teamed up with Lacey Evans. So you break up they broke up the Iconics for no reason, as we all know. But I just find it so like meta how they kept Reginald. If the guy doesn't do anything, I mean, for God's sakes, you keep a guy who doesn't do anything. And it actually dawned on me yesterday, and I was kind of almost arguing with myself that I'm like, okay, how can you keep this guy? He doesn't do anything. I can't even say it enough. He doesn't do anything. He literally just stands around and just calls people matches. When you got rid of actual talent, actual people that we wanted to see, that we like, that we buy shirts from. I mean, that's the beauty of WWE. I mean, they get rid of the good, they keep the bad, but then they complain of why the product is bad, or why the ratings are low. And there you go. You know how great it would be if the Iconics just come back out of nowhere, like during a tag team match. I mean, my God, I wish. But as for the released superstars, I mean, we all know that. I think there was a Impact Wrestling for a little promo video for Slammiversary, and I think we all know that Iconics and Samoa, or well, supposedly maybe Daniel Bryan, are going to Impact Wrestling, which, interesting. Okay, but enough of my ranting. That was just me giving my opinion on this because I just don't understand it. Now I'm going to get back into the match. So then Tamina, she super kicks Nia, goes for a pin. Nia kicks out. Nia then does a botched leg roll-up pin type thing on Tamina. And I don't know, she really didn't get that pin in. It was just a botch. So then Natalya, she slingshots Shayna to Tamina for a super kick. Then Nia, she backdrops Tamina over the barricade to the concrete, to be more specific. Shayna Baszler, then she rolls over Natalya. But like I said, Reginald being him, he's distracting the referee. So basically, he just cost Shayna and Nia the match because Shayna had Natalya won there. But of course, and then whatever, Shayna starts arguing with Reginald. Reginald's like, oh shit, I'm sorry, whatever. So then Reginald ends up walking to the entrance, and then out of nowhere, some huge flames, pyro goes up, and it hurts Reginald again. And then Natalya does an inside cradle on Shayna Baszler, and then Tamina and Natalya win and retain their women's tag team titles. And was the pyro a little bit of Alexa Bliss helping Tamina and Natalya? Yes, I believe so. Even though we didn't hear Lily's laugh, or there was no Alexa Bliss sighting this episode, which I'll get to right now about why Alexa Bliss wasn't on the show. But yeah, it was Alexa Bliss helping them and stuff. I still think this is a little swerve because Tamina and Natalya are not Lily. Maybe, well, Natalya does have blonde hair and would kind of look like twins next to Alexa Bliss when I think about it. So it'll be interesting. And to be honest, if Natalya is Lily, that'll be a huge push for Natalya because poor woman, she's such a great talent. I mean, she's a heart. She's part of the Heart family. I mean, come on, man. And they've always kept her kind of in the background. They really focused more on other women wrestlers, which I don't know why, because Natalia, she's a heart. I mean, come on, man. She comes from a freaking wrestling dynasty. So why not? I mean, I can see Natalia being Lily and looking like twins next to Alexa Bliss, kind of like a long-lost sister. And then as the match ended, we see Shayna Baszler. She's holding Reginald by his shirt, and she basically challenges him to a match next week. So we're going to have Shayna Baszler versus Reginald next week. Lord have mercy on that match. One thing I can say for sure that could happen or will happen, or maybe has like a 70% chance of happening, somehow, some way, they are going to bring in some more fire, some more pyro, and it's going to cost Reginald the match. I hope. As for my rating, as for this Raw episode, I'm giving it a 6 out of 10. Like I said, some storylines were more evolved. Others are just stale and boring. One thing, though, I will say, though, is there was no Damian Priest versus Morrison. Thank God. I hope the officials in the back have realized that, yo, this storyline has died. Like, that's it. And even Damian Priest last week saying that he's done with Miz and Morrison. That's great. And as for Miz, I mean, sadly, he tore an ACL, or what was it, something? I think it was something about his feet. He tore something, so it might be out of action for a while. It hasn't been said, but if it is fully torn and needs surgery, The Miz is going to be out of action for 7 to 9 months, which is the whole year. So that will leave Morrison by himself, and God knows what they'll do with Morrison if he doesn't have The Miz. But yeah, overall, Raw, it was all right. It wasn't really anything crazy. The matches were very long, though. I'll say that. Like, usually, you know, for the number of weeks, the matches have been, you know, very fast, like 5-7 minutes, boom, next match, boom, next match. This episode, it was, I don't know what happened, but the matches were long, minus AJ Styles versus this guy, which, Jackson Riker, sorry, I blanked out. As for my highlights, though, I mean, Kofi Kingston versus Drew McIntyre to open Raw. Very, very good match. Very good match. And then we have Charlotte Flair versus Asuka. Another great match. These four superstars, they had a very good match for Raw. Even though they had the longest matches on Raw, it was still very good, very entertaining. And as for Alexa Bliss, she didn't show up physically on Raw for the first time in a long time. And I found out the reason why is because she has a little emergency back home with her pet pig that her pig is sick, so she couldn't make it to the Raw taping. So hopefully, you know, everything is okay with her pet and she can get it sorted out, and hopefully it's nothing serious for her pig, because I love pigs too. They're so cute. So that will conclude my review for the May 24th edition of Raw. As always, I hope you guys are staying safe, taking care of yourself and taking care of others, wearing your mask, getting through the day, getting through your work days and everything. And I hope you guys are listening and having fun and having your own opinions on what I say. And maybe I missed something. You can always tell me what I miss. And as always, I will see you guys next week.